ASAP, any score, any place. We'll pull up on your boat, gang, or don't bang.
Bro, who's making this shit? No, wait. Who did this?
Let's go! Come on!
I'm so tired from watching.
90-yard touchdown! 90-yard touchdown!
That's what I do.
Hey, put your big boy boots on. We're going to get straight.
What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer, and we're joined by John Kegley on today's show, one of the original members of the show. Before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for over five seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Happy Friday to everyone, and thank you to everyone who's checking us out for the first time and everyone who is returning and is a loyal listener to us. So the last couple of days, we had Fernando Ramirez on from Sports Illustrated, and the day before that, we are recapping Hard Knocks. So today, we're going to do a very heavy training camp update, talking about all of the news and notes that have come out of training camp so far. So we're going to be talking about the tight end three battle, talk about Rayshon Jenkins hype, which is getting out of control, Josh Kelly and the running backs, Kenneth Murray still out, and much more in the second and third segments of today's show. But we're going to start with the news that Melvin Ingram is back at practice and why that is so important for this Chargers defense and what he means to that defense, and also the fact that Shane Steichen, the Chargers' new offensive coordinator, got to talk with the media and had some high praise for rookie Justin Herbert, who they are trying to mold into the future of this franchise. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. On Wednesday, Los Angeles Chargers defensive end Melvin Ingram returned to practice, and Shane Steichen had some very high praise for rookie quarterback Justin Herbert. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. One of the main storylines throughout training camp so far was the fact that star defensive end Melvin Ingram for the Chargers had been sitting in on training camp. He was showing up to camp, but he was not wearing pads. He was not practicing with the team. And then it came out from sources that he was dissatisfied with his contract. And over the last few days, he had been sitting out. But on Thursday, he returned to practice and practiced with the team, which obviously means that he's feeling a little bit better about the situation, but there has been no contract rumors for Ingram, and we really haven't heard anything yet. But David, for this defense to get Melvin Ingram back on the field, one of their biggest leaders on the defense, is a huge help for this team.
No question about it. I think Melvin Ingram does a lot of things that goes unheralded. I think he is obviously known very well for his pass rushing prowess, but I think his leadership also shines through. He's one of the longest tenured Chargers on this team and in this organization, so he definitely is a force on that defensive side, a big personality. But also, it's incredibly important that he's back because there's a big lack of depth behind him. You got Achenna Nwosu, who is his backup, but has not really played very much in his NFL career. He has not put a lot on tape. Behind Nwosu, you also have Jerry Tillery, who they've fooled around putting him in that spot, but there's just a lot of uncertainty or just questionable play behind Melvin Ingram. So it's very important that he is back. Also, it takes away double teams from Joey Bosa, and anytime you can get that guy one more one-on-one matchups, that's exactly what you want. So it's great news that Melvin Ingram is back on the field with the Chargers defense where he belongs.
And last year, even with Melvin Ingram, for most of the games, they finished 28th in the NFL in sacks, so they have to be better in that department. And it's hard to see that getting better without one of your team leaders and one of the better defensive ends in the NFL over his career. So definitely huge to have him back on the field. They ran into contract disputes at the end of his rookie contract that led to him getting franchise tag, but they ended up being able to work out a deal. In this case, he is back on the field. We do not know necessarily if they have come to some sort of back alley agreement or anything like that, but the most important thing is that he's back at practice because he is a very important piece of this Chargers defense, and it all starts up front for the Chargers, getting that pressure to help out that loaded secondary they have back there. But new offensive coordinator Shane Steichen, who is going into his first year in the job, also talked with the media on Thursday, and he had some very high praise about Justin Herbert. And we have all been looking and reading all of the notes to try to see how this rookie quarterback is progressing, and I think he paid him one of the highest compliments that you can give somebody, and overall, he's really liked what he's seen so far.
you got to feel for Shane Steichen, because this is the first opportunity he's really got to get Justin Herbert on the football field and actually see what he can do on the field instead of in Zoom meetings. There's only so much you can install and get done through meetings. Eventually, you got to get these guys on the football field, especially a rookie quarterback. You got to get him in the system and get him as many reps as you can possibly do. And Shane Steichen said it's been exciting to finally get him on the grass. We talked about when we drafted him, his athletic ability was rare for his size, but to see it in person and the type of throws that he's making in practice has been very impressive. Justin Herbert brings a lot to the table. He's a big physical kid, 6'6", can really run. He's able to extend the play and brings a big arm to the table. So it's really good for it's really good to see him on the football field and see him progressing. He went on to continue complimenting Justin Herbert by saying he's a sharp kid, a good learner. He does a heck of a job staying in the pocket when the pressure is coming. He hasn't flinched yet, so that's a big sign of success down the road as he continues to grow in this system and in this league. And what better guys to prove your mettle and your ability to stay in the pocket against than great pass rushers like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram? The Chargers have all kinds of guys that they can send at the quarterback, and I think it's going to really help Justin Herbert get ready whenever his name is eventually called to be the starting quarterback of the Chargers.
Especially because that was one of the biggest knocks on him in college, just how he handled pressure. So to see the fact that Shane Steichen is out here saying that he's handling that pressure well, I mean, that's a huge compliment, because there's only a handful of guys in the world that can sit in the pocket and make a tough throw with someone like Joey Bosa breathing down their neck. So I think that's a huge step in the progression for Justin Herbert. Obviously, these are all practices where you know Joey Bosa is also not allowed to plant you in the dirt, right? So obviously you have to take everything with a grain of salt, but you can see that Shane Steichen is very interested in what Justin Herbert brings to the table, also commenting on the fact that most of the biggest plays in the NFL come off of scramble plays, which is actually an option now for the Chargers, because it's not Phillip Rivers standing back there statuesque and not being able to evade much. The Chargers expect a lot of plays to break down this season, and they expect some big plays to come from both of their new quarterbacks. But we do have two more segments to get into. We have a lot to talk about with training camp. We have the position battle between Bobby Hawley and Gabe Neighbors, fullbacks. Everybody loves to talk fullbacks. The Rayshon Jenkins hype train and much more coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys, of course, about the best protein bar on the planet. They are back. Built Bars are back and better than ever. And they are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've just come back with a bunch of new flavors. They have cookies and cream, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and they're all soft and easy to chew and 100% covered in chocolate. No longer do you have to choose between something that's good for you and something that tastes good. Built Bar is here for any kind of healthy diet. And right now you can even get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. And all you have to do is go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, for $10 off any order, not just your first order, at builtbar.com. So I want to get into a lot of things that have happened over the last week during training camp. We have a lot of good notes from the Chargers reporters, specifically Daniel Popper, who has come out with some really good practice notes. In lieu of being able to actually be there, it's nice to actually hear about some things that have gone on the field. But one person that the hype train is definitely surrounding right now is Rayshon Jenkins. And we heard Anthony Lynn pick him to be kind of a breakout player in 2020. And I think a lot of the guys in the secondary have been saying the same thing. And obviously, Rayshon Jenkins has had to do a lot in his time with the Chargers, John. He came into the league as a strong safety. Now he's transitioned to free safety. He's changed his diet. He's refocused his game plan. But the biggest thing last year was just missing timely tackles. And Rayshon Jenkins gave up a ton of big touchdowns last year that really had a devastating effect for the Chargers. A lot of touchdowns that really changed the outlook of games. And for me personally, I'm going to have a little bit more trust in him to really just totally endorse him on the back end of this Chargers defense as the last line of defense. I know that he's rangy. He's obviously super athletic. I mean, that's one of the things you can never take away from him. And he led the Chargers in interceptions last year, but it was with three. There wasn't a ton of competition there. So, John, I don't know if I'm sure that I understand why the hype train is going so crazy. Obviously, he must be showing out in practice a little bit, and he must be doing things really well. But for me, I'm still hesitant to buy in on the Rayshon Jenkins hype. And maybe it's just because I'm a big Nazir Adderley guy.
I think the whole hype train is just because he's at practice, and a lot of guys look really good at practice when you don't have somebody game planning against you. He changed his diet, so he got rid of like the fatty carb type stuff, like pasta and rice, which can slow you down. So he probably looks a lot faster at practice.
But you also can't tackle anybody to the ground at practice either.
Yeah, exactly. That's also a big thing. But also, like, plays are usually designed to either work 100% or fail 100%, depending on which side you're on. If you're on first team defense and it's a running play, it's probably going to get stopped at the line of scrimmage because it's designed to, and everyone's doing their job. It's easy. So, you know, you don't get to see Rayshon do a pursuit angle and then try to tackle somebody. Like, his pursuit angle was really bad last year too. He would run at a guy and the guy would just run right past him because he didn't take the proper angle to tackle him. So there's things in practice that you don't really see. And the things that are probably flashy is just he's moving around the field a lot faster now. He's probably getting to spots. Probably looks really
very
fast,
rangy, athletic. I mean, for sure.
With a change in diet will do that. He said he got his fat percentage down to single digits, so he's probably a lot faster now. But it's just practice. Until I see a preseason type game, like a scrimmage, if you will, if they're to bring the Rams in and scrimmage him real quick and give me some film on that, let me see how he's doing. Maybe I'll become a believer, but until then, all the hype is just hype. It's a puff piece, really.
Practice? We talking about practice?
Obviously, this happens every year, right? We get puff pieces. Last year, don't forget, it was about Trent Scott. You know what I mean? So before that, you know, Dylan Cantrell was a guy who was getting hyped up. Obviously, he had some injuries, but that didn't really work out either. But I would say the one thing is obviously coming up from free safety to make tackles is one of the tougher things to do on running plays in the NFL if you're not used to it, right? Because it changes all of the different angles. If you're coming up as a linebacker, it's a different angle than if you're coming up as a strong safety or even a free safety. They're all different angles that you have to get used to. And one of the things he's saying now is he just has the reps. He has the experience. He's seen a lot of different things now. And I would agree that that could definitely make you better. It can put you in the right spots more of the time. There was definitely some touchdowns last year that were given up where you're not exactly sure what the coverage responsibility was on that given play, and you don't necessarily know the play call, but he's in the vicinity and it looks like he's not covering somebody that he should have been. So obviously it's kind of hard to tell in those moments, but Gus Bradley has said many times this offseason he wants to get more aggressive, he wants to send more blitzes, he wants to go more man-to-man coverage, and one of the things that's going to really expose you to is somebody catching a ball really quickly and Rayshon Jenkins potentially being the last guy there to tackle him more often than we saw last season. So I think that's something that potentially could hurt the Chargers going forward. Obviously, if he's a much better tackler this season, that's something that would really improve his game because I think his coverage is actually pretty good at times, and he is pretty rangy. He's super fast, super athletic. He makes plays on the ball at times, not as much as I'd like him to, but there is potential there, obviously. But until I see him be able to make tackles more consistently, take better angles, and make touchdown-saving plays, it's hard for me to endorse him as the last line of defense for this defense. But another thing that's really been popping off so far during practice has been the fullback battle, and it's Bobby Hawley versus Gabe Neighbors, two undrafted free agents that are vying for spots on this roster, and as a spot, David, that we think they will give to an undrafted free agent. We think that a fullback will make this team. They have talked about wanting a fullback on the team in the past, and Daniel Popper came out with some really, really in-detail notes about how these guys were doing in one-on-one pass blocking situations. He says that Gabe Neighbors absolutely de-cleated Alohi Gilman and put him into the ground. Obviously, Gilman's not the biggest guy, but hearing that Bobby Hawley went up against Denzel Perryman and didn't give an inch with Denzel Perryman running right into him, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So, David, this thing is heating up. You know that Gabe Neighbors has the versatility to play a little bit of tight end, and Popper says in his article that he is a polished route runner. From what I saw at his tape in Florida State, it's not exactly how I would describe it. Maybe it's gotten a lot better. But this battle is really heating up, David, and I think obviously one of the things that helps this competition is just having two guys that feel like they have a shot to make the team.
Not only should they feel they have a shot, but I think it's almost a virtual lock that one of these guys is going to extend the undrafted free agent streak for the Chargers, because the coaching staff has said on many occasions that they want a fullback on this roster. So I think it's going to happen no matter what. Bobby Holly's your more traditional fullback, a guy that's just going to meet somebody in the hole and try to stonewall him and run him over. That's what you're going to get out of Bobby Holly. Gabe Neighbors, like you talked about, Daniel, brings a little bit of more of that versatility, apparently has a little more pass-catching prowess. So it's going to be able to, it's going to really boil down to how they want to use a fullback, because these guys are similar, but they have a little bit of different skill sets. At the end of the day, you want guys that are going to bring versatility to your roster. So Gabe Neighbors might have a little bit of a leg up, but this battle right here is going to be an intense one throughout training camp, and one we're going to be monitoring very, very closely. Hopefully we get some glimpses of this on Hard Knocks, because I do think this is definitely one of the more legitimate camp battles that we have when there really isn't many jobs that are up for grabs.
Absolutely, and it might be the only undrafted free agent that makes this roster at that position specifically, given everything that's going on right now. But I think one of the more encouraging signs that's come out of training camp so far is the hype around Josh Kelly, and I'm all here for that, because I was a little bit critical of where the Chargers took Joshua Kelly, but I really liked Joshua Kelly's tape. I thought he was a really good compliment for what they have in their backfield right now, and a compliment to Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler. And we've heard all sorts of reporters and players alike saying that they've been impressed by Josh Kelly. And one thing they keep sticking on is the speed. And obviously, I don't think Josh Kelly has breakaway speed, but I do think he has deceptive speed. And I think people will see a physical runner like that, and they don't expect the burst that he has. But I definitely saw it at UCLA. I also thought he was a better receiver than maybe he was given credit for, even in limited opportunities there. But John, I think it's really a good sign that Josh Kelly is showing that, hey, I'm not just a goal line running back. I'm not just a short yardage running back. I'm a complete running back, and I can play at this level. And so far he's impressing, and that's a really good sign, because that is going to be a huge compliment to a guy like Austin Eckler, who's going to take the lion's share of the load.
It's good to hear that he's actually using his speed. And if you watch his UCLA game tape, you can see that he has some speed. And like you said, it's not breakaway. He's not Chris Johnson or someone who's just going to take off burning everybody once he gets one little hole, but he can outrun you to the sideline. And if he gets a hole up the middle, he could probably take it a good distance. He's not going to outrun you, but he could definitely get at least 30 yards before you stop him. But the thing is, with the situations that the Chargers might come up with, his lead role is probably going to be short yardage and goal line situations. But knowing that he has speed and he's using it really well in practice against these guys means you could probably do more stuff on third and one, like maybe do a stretch play. And if the hole is not there, he can just power forward up the middle and still get that third and one, which is something Eckler wouldn't do. If Eckler runs a stretch and the hole's not there, he's getting bottled up. If he somehow gets past the first down marker on that third and one, he's probably taking it to the house. So there's a lot more things that are going on now that he's using that speed really well.
One thing also that Daniel Popper mentioned was that this guy, Joshua Kelly, looks for contact. He's trying to run people over. He has the intention that he wants to meet you and run you over. I love that. That's something the Chargers have sorely been missing at the running back position.
Because Melvin Gordon obviously won't do it.
Well, I think that was one of the most underwhelming things about Melvin Gordon, was just the lack of consistency finishing runs and running with power. I mean, how many times did we see Melvin Gordon get caught up by his shoelaces? I mean, it was absolutely maddening how many times that guy went down with ankle tackles. But then he'd have a game against
that guy's huge too. It just didn't make sense.
Melvin Gordon, if you stood next to Melvin Gordon, you would be stunned. I mean, he is absolutely built like a tank. And you have games where he showed it. It just was super, super inconsistent. I think there's a lot of issues to why that happened. But for me, I think not only, you know, I think the goal line third down situations, short yardage situations, I should say, were kind of a given with Josh Kelly. I think with what he's showing in camp, he might earn himself more first down runs, right? More of those in between the tackle runs on first down when you're trying to get a hard 4 or 5 yards to set up the offense for shorter yards, shorter down and distance, because Austin Eckler runs tough. But if somebody squares him up, he's just not as big as a guy like Joshua Kelly. He doesn't have as much lead in his pants. You know, he just doesn't have that size that Joshua Kelly brings. And I really like Joshua Kelly, and I'm really glad that he's impressing. And it's not like he showed up and out of shape, not really doing anything. He's showing up and he's making plays, which is what the Chargers need him to do. But another thing that's been really talked about a lot so far during this training camp is the tight end three battle between Donald Parham and Steven Anderson. And a couple days ago, we heard that Steven Anderson was making all sorts of catches all over the field. But Daniel Popper talks about in his notes today, they were doing one-on-one blocking. Donald Parham started a little bit slow, finished strong, blocking Emeka Egbule, who was somebody that even, you know, Bobby Hawley didn't end up blocking in that same situation, while Steven Anderson looked a little bit lost as far as the blocking responsibilities went. So, David, this is another spot that is absolutely up for grabs, and the guy who doesn't get it might be left off the roster entirely if he's not the tight end three that the Chargers decide to go with. And I think at the end of the day, this decision will be made on how well each of these guys is, how good each of these guys does at receiver, especially if neither one of them is showing that they can really block right now. But I think this is a position that's up for grabs, and each of these guys has a chance to make the team.
Definitely. This is another wide open spot for the Chargers roster where there isn't many. But behind Hunter Henry and Virgil Green, there really is nothing there. And you know, you got to love Virgil Green for what he brings to the table. But he really isn't that big of a pass-catching threat. So there is a there is a spot available for another tight end that can come in and show that he can catch the football. Honestly, I think that it's going to boil down to whoever's the better blocker between these guys, because a tight end three in pretty much any system is going to have to come in and be a blocker. Yeah, you got to catch the football, and yeah, it'd be nice to have another pass catching option, because I've said before, if Hunter Henry goes down, you can't really count on Virgil Green to go in there and make plays consistently in the passing game. It's just not something that he's shown to be capable of doing throughout his long NFL career. So Steven Anderson, Donald Parham, I think they both have shown they can catch the football, but whoever can block a little bit better, I think, is going to end up taking that spot.
Yeah, and what I was saying, too, is just the fact that if neither one of them can block, you better make sure you're making plays in the passing game. And I think
No question.
Yeah, and Donald Parham, obviously, I think, has the higher ceiling. He has the athleticism. He has the size that you're looking for. I mean, even bigger than that size, even. But if Steven Anderson keeps on making plays, it's going to be hard to let him go and let a very unproven commodity like Donald Parham stay on the team. But we still have a lot more notes to get into. We're going to talk about the hype train surrounding another safety, as well as talking about Kenneth Murray still sitting out and some other guys who have flashed so far, according to the people who have been watching the practices, coming up right after this. So getting back into our training camp notes and what we've seen so far and who has stood out so far and kind of what that means going forward for the team, there have been a ton of storylines out there, and there have been a few people like Daniel Popper outlining specific circumstances. Like in one of Popper's things, he talks about Justin Herbert and the rest of the quarterbacks going through 2-minute drills. It didn't seem like any of those really went well for any of the quarterbacks today. He said Easton Stick really stood out, but there's not a ton to get into there as of yet, but there are still some guys that have been really talked about a lot during this training camp session, and one of those guys is Alohi Gilman. And Alohi Gilman, if you watched his college tape, I mean, he's a guy that made exciting plays. My biggest problem with him was inconsistency. I saw him only as a special teams player, as the Chargers saw him more as the backup strong safety, and I think there are some obvious limitations to his game. I think if you have him as a safety up near the line of scrimmage, John, I think he can be very successful there. I think that is somewhere, if you shorten the angles and kind of simplify things for him, might be something that works out for him. But so far, everyone has been talking about this guy is just out there making plays consistently. And you can have flaws in your game, but at the same time, if you're out there making plays consistently, being in the right place at the right time, and the guy is a gamer, I will absolutely give him that. He goes all out all the time. They love how aggressive he is. And I definitely like those traits in a safety as well. But if you want to be a young guy like this and really carve yourself out a role on the team, it starts by showing up and making those plays consistently and getting these coaches to want to put you on the field.
Well, going to your point about bringing him up close to the line, he could maybe be that Adrian Phillips type player on this team, since Adrian Phillips is gone now. He could definitely He could definitely fill that role. He's that type of player, and the way he hits and the way he tackles would fill that role pretty well. And if he's at practice going around making a lot of plays, to me, that's telling me that he's got instinct and he's got IQ right now. And that means he knows what's coming. He's reading plays, and his instinct is making him run to where the ball is going to go, or he's running to the tackle
and making the tackle. Those two things right there alone, to me, give him an advantage in practice. That means that's one less guy I have to teach things to, and just a guy I need to watch grow. And if he grows, if he becomes a better player, if he becomes more athletic, faster, stronger, he could be your potential starter. That's something that's big to me. The IQ is just so big, and you can't really teach instinct. Instinct just grows on you from practice.
And that showed up in his tape, too. Instincts did.
Exactly. I could sit there and tell you, hey, if this is cover three and they're running this play, you have to go stand over here. But if unless you got that instinct, you're not going to go do that. You're going to be making the read, then go try to get to your spot. But then by then, you might be too late. Derwin James has those instincts, and you see how well it helps him. So the fact that he has these instincts already, I think, is going to help him a lot in getting a lot of playing time this year. But so far, I think he needs to stick with special teams right now and just get used to the NFL speed first and then work up to starter level.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, obviously, even just carving himself a little role on this defense would definitely be progress. Even being the backup strong safety to Derwin James, because you're hoping not to have to use that position, is obviously a huge compliment. And having depth like that is so important. And we saw it as recently as last season when Derwin James and Adrian Phillips both got hurt and they didn't really have anybody to play that role. He's definitely physical enough to play that role. My biggest thing with him in college is he made a ton of plays. He made a lot of spectacular plays, but he also had a lot of try to drag down tackles where you would end up missing tackles or trying to make a big play and missing a tackle. And that's something you can't really see right now. But I think he has the instincts. He has the ability to learn, and he looks like he knows what's coming. He looks like he watches tape. And I think those are all things that are going to play out in his favor. And another guy, David, that has stuck out so far is actually my sleeper pick for the Chargers to draft in 2019, Cortez Broughton, a guy I was really high on and a guy that the Chargers actually ended up picking in the 7th round. And he's a guy that last year saw probably some time on the field a little bit before he should. I don't know if he was necessarily ready to take that step yet, and the Chargers were so decimated with Justin Jones out, with Brandon Mebane out. He got in a little soon, but so far, obviously, you know, going up against the Chargers offensive line, he's been able to make some splash plays. He's been getting sacks and practices, which obviously, you know, a sack in practice isn't necessarily like a sack in real life, but if you're getting into the backfield, if you're causing havoc, those are very good signs for an interior guy, especially because there's only so much Linval Joseph can do. He's going to have to come off the field. He's not a guy that can play 100% of the snaps for your defense. It's more like 65%. So that leaves a lot of snaps out there. Then some of those are going to go to Damian Square, who we like and we thought made some plays last season. But to have another guy on the inside like Cortez Broughton, making splashy plays, getting in the backfield, causing havoc, those are all good signs for somebody, obviously, that they had faith enough in to take him at the end of the 2019 draft. And it looks like he's showing out so far in camp.
Daniel, I think right now the most important thing for Cortez Broughton is just to gain confidence. And I think the more plays that he makes in practice, the more that confidence level is going to shoot up, especially after a very down rookie season where he didn't really get a lot of opportunities. And like you said, he didn't really look like he was really ready to go when he did get those opportunities. So I think right now, just to build on that confidence, really get him feeling good about his progression and that leap. Right now, when you pick guys in the late rounds of the draft, you're looking just for those guys to come in and provide quality depth. Right now, I think that is the plan for Cortez Broughton, just to come in, show that he can handle the position, and provide that quality depth. On the defensive line, there's going to be many guys that are going to be rotated out, and if Cortez Broughton wants to be one of those guys that are in that rotation, then he needs to continue making those splash plays in practice.
Well, and it's uncertain if his job is even safe at this point. We don't necessarily know that he's a lock to make this team, so I think it's very important for him to do this, but one of the other storylines going on, John, is that Kenneth Murray, the Chargers' first-round rookie linebacker, has been sitting out with soreness so far the last couple of days. He hasn't been on the field, I think, for the last 3 days. And how much do you think that is going to affect him trying to go into the season, this valuable practice time that he's been missing?
Well, it really depends on what the soreness is first. If this is simple, you know, muscle soreness because it's opening training camp, and training camp's been a little bit different this year due to COVID, then I think he shouldn't miss many more days, and I think he'll be just fine come the season. I don't think that he's missing that much time as long as he's there and learning. If it's only a few days, then he'll be able to make up a lot of the running around and being actually in the play. But as far as what the the soreness is. This is a lot more serious than we think it is, because we know how the Chargers are reporting injuries and stuff.
Downplaying,
aka Nazir Adderley.
Yeah. Hopefully they just get it right this time.
Oh, I know. And then he might be missing more time. And then if that's the case, then this is big. He needs a lot of time on that field. He needs a lot of time practicing and being in the play and learning, getting those instincts like we talked about with Gilman. He needs to get those instincts ready. He needs to learn the plays and know what he's going to be doing on the field. So if this is a more serious injury than we think it is, then this could be big for him. But if it's just simple muscle soreness, just due to the fact that it's beginning a training camp, he probably just got a quick little growing pain, if you will, then I don't think this is big at all.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I guess my biggest thing is just the fact that four linebackers coming into the league, we've seen so many of them struggle, whether it's guys like Devin Bush or Devin White or even Rashawn Evans out of Alabama or even Roquan Smith with the Bears. All of these guys have had somewhat of a learning curve, and all of these practices are going to be so important, especially in the absence of preseason games, that it's one thing to talk about it in Zoom meetings, all of those things, but at this point, he hasn't even had a padded practice yet. If he can get back out there right away, I definitely think it minimizes those things, but you need him out there. You need him going out there and stepping up with this defense. You need him out there in practice showing that he deserves to be the team starter, because as it's rolled out, he's been with the second unit, and I don't take too much stock into that, but he needs to get back out there as soon as possible. Obviously, the Chargers are being very cautious. They even had a padded practice that they kind of took away and just said we're going no pads this week. So there's many different ways that this could go, but definitely not a good sign that he's missing time early. Hopefully, like you said, it's just a little bit of soreness. He's out there next week, and he's just really going throughout the rest of camp and never really misses another beat. But we know he's had some hamstring issues. Hopefully, it's not that, because those soft tissue things can be very lingering, and those are not things you want dragging through his rookie season at all. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Hopefully we have some more storylines about the wide receiver three position and someone who's been standing out there. Hopefully so far it's been Jalen Guyton, actually the speedy Jalen Guyton from some of the notes we've heard. And then hopefully we get to hear about, you know, one of these offensive linemen on the left side really standing out and kind of taking one of these positions by storm, because so far we haven't really heard anything like that. And I think I just made a Storm Norton joke and I didn't even necessarily know it. But that is going to do it for today's show. Until next week, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify. We'd really appreciate it. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, the number is 323-524-7924. And we're going to be doing a voicemail show on Monday, so make sure you guys call in for that. But we'll be back with you guys then to get into the latest in Chargers training camp and everything Chargers. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.